Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we've fallen down, you've allowed us to get back up again. And there was nobody greater who got back up again like you did, my Father God, when you got up out of the ground with all power in your hand. Now, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, and you would speak through my mouth. God, let it be all of you, less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed. And for that, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on with your Bibles in your hands. Would you repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, break down this word. Say it again, Pastor Andre. Break down this word. Come on, put your hands together. Glory to God. Feel the presence of the Lord. I first of all want to thank those who prayed for me. I had been a little bit under the weather, dealing with a little bit of bug. And the thing about it, you probably know it, whenever you get a cough in this day and age, the devil tells you you got COVID. Every little thing felt like COVID, but I prayed about it, and I could see my body shifting and changing, and I thank God for those who checked on me and prayed for me. And so I'm about 97%. So by the time I finish, hopefully I'll be at 100%. But I feel like this is going to be an important shift that we're going to deposit into the ministry, something that we've always been a part of, but I want to take us somewhere this morning that's going to impact us for this year. Let's look at Psalms 29:1. It starts off by saying it's a psalm of David. And Mother Mitchell, would you read?
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Verse 2.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
I've always been fond of this scripture. I've always enjoyed this scripture. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But what I like about it, it says, give him the honor that's due his name, which means that you can honor him in a way that is not due his name. In other words, you can praise him and you can worship him and still fall short of who he really is. So it says, give him the honor that's due his name, but you can't know his name until you know him. And so the more you know him, the more readily you grow in your ability to honor him for who he is. And so I want to start, we're going to start a series, but the first part of this series, we're going to actually start a series on worship, but the first part is going to be called this worthy worship. Somebody say worthy worship. I'm not just talking about worship, but worship that is worthy of the God that we say that we serve. So at the end of last year, the close of 2020, we went through Adventures in Praise, talking about praising God. But I want to shift from praise to worship. They are similar, but they're not the same. And worship has to be worthy. And it has to have the right proper value. The actual word worship comes from an old English word, worship, which means to denote a value. It also is like an appraisal. When you get a ruby or you get a diamond, that it is an appraisal to show you the value of it. When you go to purchase a home, there is a home appraisal to show you the value of it. So in other words, if the appraisal says the home is $250,000, and you offer $25,000, your offer was going to be laughed at because it's not near the worth of the home. It may be all that you have, but you need to find another house in another market because you don't have what the house is worth. And if God is worth billions of worship, why is it that you can't give him what he deserves? And so I want to teach us how to walk in worthy worship. Worship is not a slow song. See, in the old days, we thought worship was a slow song. Praise is a fast song. Worship is a slow song. No, worship is a lifestyle. And when you have a lifestyle that says, God, I worship you because of who you are. My life worships you. I'm not saying that every step that I take is perfect. And I'm not saying every step I make the right decision. But my life as a whole, it worships you. That's why when we fall down, we get up. Because he's too worthy for me to stay down. I got to get up. My life must worship him. If he paid the price for my sins, I can't stay in my sins. I got to get up. I got to change my mindset. I got to move forward. My life must worship him because he's worthy. When was he not worthy? When in a time in history has he not been worthy? When can you go back over your life and say he's not been worthy? Now, you may be able to say at points in my life, I didn't know where he was, but even when you couldn't find him, he was still worthy because he's still God and he's still worthy. So we can't worship based on what's happening in our life. We have to worship based on his worth. When things are bad, he's yet worthy of worship. When things are good, he's yet worthy of worship. When things are indifferent, he's yet worthy of the worship. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, he's still worthy. So let's give him a worthy worship. What I want to do, I want to give us a few definitions. Definition number one is the definition of worthy. And is this having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specified way? Number two, deserving effort, attention, or respect. Let me throw number two in the confines of godliness. God is deserving of your effort, he's deserving of your attention, and he's deserving of your respect. Even when you're sick in your body, he's deserving of your effort. Sometimes you have to press past your tiredness and press past your anxiety and press past your depression because he's still worthy. So I got to press my way to church. I got to press my way to God. I've got to press my way to the things of God. I've got to press my way. I got to push because he's always worthy even when things don't feel right. Let's look at some definitions for worship. We're going to give you three of them. Starting with the first one, reverence offered a divine being or supernatural power, also an act of expressing such reverence. That's something that we kind of understand. Let's go to number two, a form of religious practice with its creed and ritual. That's something we understand as well, but that's something I want to shift us out of. I want you to leave that definition up for a second. That's something we understand, but I want us to shift away from that, specifically us in Deliverance Temple. It says a form of religious practice with its creed and ritual. In other words, it's just the routine. This is what we do, and then you don't know why you do it because it's a religious practice. I want to shift us out of religious practice, and I want to shift us into relationship. Let me give you an example. Let's say... Devin and I, let's say that all of our marriage for 20 years, I come in home from work with a routine, and this is just made up. This is not something I do because probably she wouldn't stay with me. But let's say all my routine, when I come in, I hit her in her arm and say, "How's your day been?" You know, just like two dudes. But for whatever reason, she liked that, and I done that all my life. If one day I come in out of work, and she's laying on the couch. And I say, baby, what's wrong with you? And she says, I think I'm suffering a heart attack. And then I hit her. I said, how your day been? That wouldn't make any sense. What I'd be doing, I'd be operating off of a routine and not operating out of relationship. Out of relationship, I need to figure out what's going on. Why are you hurting? I can't show up with a routine when there is a relationship. And some of us, we just do things out of routine when we don't have relationship with God. I'm going to say my nightly prayers, our Father, which art in heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. But in this day and age, you're going to have to shift from routine to relationship. I got to worship you out of relationship. When I wake up in the morning, God, what do you want from me today? I know what I did yesterday. I know I read yesterday. I know I watched Creflo Dollar yesterday and listened to T.D. Jakes yesterday. And I called Mother Mitchell yesterday. But God, what do you want today? Because I'm in relationship with you. And the worship that you desire is not a religious practice. I like it when you come to church. I like it when you tune in online. But don't do it out of routine. Be getting something. You ought to be offering God something. Even while you're listening, you ought to be wondering, how can I apply it to my life? How can I make it work out in my daily life? How can I offer this back to you in worship? All right, let's go to point number three of the definition of worship. This is the one I like the most, and it's interesting because this is the one that they did not connect to deity and they did not connect it to religious practice. But this is what it says. Extravagant respect or admiration for or devotion to an object of esteem worship of the dollar. So the esteem worship of the dollar is giving it an example. How people worship the dollar. I like this one because this is what we often see. We see people worship teams like this. We see people worship their spouses and their children like this. Let's be honest. We have seen, this is why we're in the trouble we're in, we have seen worship this previous president like this. We have seen people worship the flag like this. The moment Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee for the flag, people lost their mind. Because they have idolized the flag and idolized America. I'm not saying you shouldn't be proud in where you're born, but nothing should have extravagant worship like God. There is nothing that can make me climb the Capitol building and try to bust my way in because the person I voted for did not get in office. There's nothing you could say to me because I don't worship man, I worship God. But we've got people worshiping political parties and worshiping ideas and all this stuff. And here's the problem is they do it better than the world does. They're more extravagant in their worship than we are in our worship. And I understand because sometimes we're just tired. And sometimes we've been through hard times. And sometimes we dragged ourselves to church. And sometimes we're dealing with all kinds of things. But no matter what we're dealing with, no matter how tired we are, no matter how sick we are in our body, God is still worthy. So he deserves a worthy worship. Not a tired worship, not a sinful worship, but an extravagant worship. God, I worship you because of who you are. Amen. Let's start working through some points. Let me give you my first point. And Mother Mitchell, would you say my first point for me?
Willing to worship.
Number one, we have to be willing to worship. This is something you do from your will. See, when you get a routine, you think you do it out of your feelings. See, back in the day, especially in the Baptist church, they would say, Sister So-and-so, she caught the Holy Ghost. Because of the way she acted, they thought she caught something. But whether I catch it or not, I need to know how to tap into the worship inside of me. Every time I'm not lifting my hands, and every time I'm not dancing, and every time I'm not crying, crying sometimes is quiet, sometimes it's still, sometimes it's silent, but I'm still giving him worship. Yeah. because my life is worshiping him. Because I'm saying, God, I thank you that I'm still. Thank you for all you've done for me. I thank you for being my life, my help, and my strength. Thank you very much. Being my life, my help, and my strength. Let's put up our first verse from this. Let's go Genesis 22 and 1.
After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am.
I like how he responds, God, here I am. So let's give us A under this, these points of willing to worship. A is worthy worship is connected to test. I need you to understand that, that oftentimes you are going to be called to worship while you're being tested. Because worship is about his worth, not about what you're going through. See, worship is not about you, it's about him. And he's never not worthy, but sometimes we are in tested and testing and trying situations. And the obvious thing to do is to retract our worship because I'm going through. Why don't you come to church? Well, I've just been going through. If everybody stopped coming to church because they were going through, nobody would be at church. Nobody would log on online because we all got something to go through. And oftentimes, worship is connected to your test. All right, let's look at Genesis 22 and 2.
He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
It's one thing to be tested by circumstances around you. It's another thing to be tested because you're following God. In other words, God gives you an instruction, and the instruction he gives you is so abnormal that it rocks you and it tests you. But even when the one that seems to be causing you the trouble is God, he's still worthy of the worship. And he tells Abraham, now we know about Abraham, I'm dropping in the middle, we know that he's waited so many years for the promise of a son, and he finally has a son, his son Isaac. They've waited and waited and prayed, and it finally came, and the first thing God is saying, go sacrifice your son. Hold on, God. Oh, you play too much Jesus. Wait a second. What you say? Sometimes what God calls us to do will cost us. This is not all bowl of cherries. This is not all easy street. When God calls you and you have a calling on your life, it will test you. It will pull at you. It will be hard on you, but he's still worthy of the worship. And the test is to see, can you give him worship when he gives you an instruction that you really don't like? He gives you the instruction, stay in the marriage. No, God, I'm getting ready to go. I got the divorce papers ready. And God says, no, stay. That ain't what I wanted to do. But he's testing you. This doesn't say that the devil tested Abraham. It says God tested Abraham. All right, let's go to B. Worthy worship proves what you love. Let's go to Genesis 22 and 3.
So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac.
Let me stop right there. It didn't say Abraham rose early and argued with God. Abraham got on the phone and said, Teresa, do you know what God said he told me to do? No, that's not what it says. He just got to doing what God told him to do. Sometimes, and that's why they call him the man of faith, the father of faith. Sometimes you got to just do even when you don't understand. God, I don't understand this. God, it doesn't make sense. But you're God. I'm not God. You see the big picture. I can't see the big picture. So God, I'm going to do it your way. My way looks like it's going to work better. But God, I'm going to do it your way because you're God and you deserve worthy worship. And my worship proves you I love you more than I love my own way. Some of y'all love your own way more than you love God. So whenever God tells you something outside of your way, you with God as long as he tells you everything you want to hear. But once he tells you something outside of what you want to hear, then, I ain't going with that. Here's the thing. Some of y'all have already counted your stimulus money. I got stimulus money. You already got stuff in the layaway. And then God says, I want you to give some of it to the church. That wasn't in my plans. And guess what? You're grown. You can do what you want. You don't have to give none of your money to anybody. You don't have to give your money to Deliverance Temple. But here's the thing. Doing things your way is why you're always in the situations you're in. At some point, you got to trust God. And what Abraham understood, God has brought me this far. And I don't understand what he's talking about now, but he yet deserves my worship of obedience. So God, you brought me this child when I couldn't have a child. And if you can make a 99-year-old man have a child, God, I know you know what you're doing. So guess what? I'm selling my donkey. And I'm getting ready to do what you said you told me to do. Don't make sense, but I'm still going to do it. I'm walking in some stuff and some paths that don't make sense, but I'm trusting and believing God. Give you a quick example. At the end of November, I was working with a young man, and he deals with coaching ministries on how to advance their social media. And so we kind of hit it off, and I was talking to him, and he offered me something that I could do to advance the ministry, but it was going to cost me $3,000. And I was thinking, no, that ain't God. God don't want me to do that. Because what I've always been working on the last 3, 4, 5 years is I don't want to cross into a new year with debt. So I'm down to one credit card only. And at the end of December, I don't want anything on that credit card at all. Now, I could have pulled some money out of the church account, but I didn't feel like God was telling me to pull it out of the church account. So I felt like what I was hearing is say, N-O, this ain't for me. But I heard God say, do it. I'm like, no, this ain't God. This can't be God because I don't have the money to do it. And I don't, if I do it, I'm going to have to put it on the credit card. Now, this is the end of November. And that means I'm going to have to pay off $3,000 by the end of December. And I'm not broke, but money ain't flowing in like that. And this is what I'm talking about, extra money. And I'm talking about when you already have stuff planned. I already have stuff planned. This wasn't budgeted. This is something outside of, but I felt something tell me to do it. And by faith, I pulled the trigger and I did it. And guess what happened the next day? The next day I woke up thinking that was the dumbest thing you'd have never done in your life. That don't make no sense. But something inside of me said, just trust me, Andre. Just trust me. And I don't have time to give you the whole story, but let me just tell you by this. By the third week of December, all of it was paid off and I had extra. Money came in from places I didn't know where. I couldn't explain how, but it just happened. And God was trying to tell me, if you trust me, if you step out, and if you just believe me, even when it's above your budget, and even if it's above your idea, I want to show you I'm able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. And there's more to tell. I'll tell more as the blessings keep rolling in. But it didn't stop in December. January, blessings have been just coming in and happening. It's to the place where I forget that I got paid this week. In other words, every time I would get paid, I look at my account to make sure, because come on, sometimes things are tight. I've gone a couple weeks, I ain't even checked my account yet, because God has just been overflowing and doing stuff. He knows what he's doing, but you have to have a lifestyle that says, God, I'll trust you with my worship. Even if it caused me to do things I didn't really think I should be doing. All right, let's go to Genesis 22:3 again. We didn't finish that. And we're going to pick up where we left off at Isaac.
And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him.
Now, here's the thing. Since he's traveling a 3-day journey, that's several days he could back off and go on the opposite direction. But he kept moving forward. All right, let's go to verse 5.
Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you."
Now, God told him to sacrifice his son, kill his son, and he tells the people, "We're going to worship." What does Abraham understand that we don't understand? Because nothing sounded like worship to me, but Abraham called it worship. Abraham understood, I might be in a test, but this test is testing my worship. So I'm telling the folk that are following me, don't worry, I'm going to worship. And then he adds this, but we're coming back. That's not what I heard. I heard him say, go kill your son. But he says this, let's read that verse again.
Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you."
I and the boy, we're going to go worship and come again. That's interesting. Let's look at point C. Worthy worship is connected to faith. Your worship is also your faith. Your faithfulness is seen through your worship. Your worship is seen through your faithfulness. If you can see every step on the ladder, it's not faith. And it's probably not worthy worship. Worthy worship, sometimes you got to walk blind. You got to put yourself out there. You got to promise stuff that you don't even know if it's going to happen because you're trusting and you're believing and you're leaning on God. All right, let's go to Genesis 22 and 6.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took his hand, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together.
They both went together. Let's go to verse 7.
And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?"
Isaac got to questioning that. And I understand how sacrifices work, Papa. But I see the fire, I see the wood, but I don't see the lamb. Now we're supposed to be going and worshiping and sacrificing. And I don't know if it dawned on him, you the lamb, brother. You was getting ready to be sacrificed. So let's see what that next verse is. What happens when your family begins to question you? This is a perfect time for Abraham to back out. What does Abraham say?
Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together.
That's the kind of worship I'm talking about. When you can be so bold that you tell family members right at the point and tell them, listen, God will provide. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but one thing I know, my worship tells me this, God is a provider and God will provide. The scripture in the Hebrew says he's Jehovah Jireh, which means he sees, and because of what he sees, he provides. And so I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he sees me. I know he's not going to leave me out here like this. One songwriter said it this way. He said, I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. There's something about the God that I worship, and when I give him worthy worship, it reminds me that he still comes through late in the midnight hour. He still comes through when the clock is ticking. He's still a doctor in the sick room. He's still a lawyer in the courtroom. I don't know how it's going to happen in 2021, but my God will provide. Abraham had went through 25 years trusting and believing God. He finally had the promise, and he wasn't going to let nothing wrestle the promise out of his hand. I'm going to follow God. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I and the land and the boy, we're going to return. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I'm trusting God. And that type of trust is worship. And I don't know what you got to trust in 2021, because 2020 was rough. 2020 was hellacious. But you still might have to face something in 2021. But if you have a worthy worship, you can look at whatever you face and say, God will provide. How are you going to get over the loss of your loved one? God will provide. How are you going to pay your bills? God will provide. How you gonna fix your children? God will provide. How you gonna stay on the job? God will provide. How you gonna mend the relationship? God will provide. In other words, you're asking the wrong person. Don't ask me, because I can't see. Ask the God that sees and provides. All right, let's put point D up. Read that for me, mother.
Worthy worship results in provision.
It results in provision. Him providing. All right, so that's willing to worship. We see that Abraham was willing to worship in an extreme way. But I want to put this up. I want to put up why we worship. We have to be willing to worship, but let's talk about why we worship. And let's give us the first thing that will help us understand it, which is point E, worthy worship proves what we value most. That's why we worship, so that we can prove not only to us, but to the devil what we value most. And that's why the devil sometimes doesn't get out of your life, because when you tell him, get out of my life, devil, God is against you, he doesn't listen to you, because he doesn't see you worshiping God. He don't see you valuing God, so he doesn't trust your words. He doesn't believe God will provide for you, because he never sees you worship God, so he takes his chances with you, and many times he beats you to your punch and wears you out. And then you look at God and say, God, why don't you help me? Why don't you fix it? But here's the thing. Once you worship God, it does something to you. It's for him, but it does something to you. Because you think the God that I worship is connected to me. Let me say it this way, the way John said it. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can't worship God without coming out feeling something down on the inside of me. It's like Clark Kent. When he stepped in the phone booth, he was no longer Clark Kent, but he pulled the suit off and he'd open up his shirt, and then there'd be an S on his chest. He went from Clark Kent to Superman, and he was moving faster than a speeding bullet. When I worship God, something happens to me. I step in the phone booth. I may come in sick, but when I step out healed. I may come in broke, but when I step out, because I'm worshiping God, because I value him the most. And when I value him and I place a high value on him, I realize, wait a second, he's placed a high value on me. He's put his breath in my body.
Hallelujah.
And he's offered me a trip to heaven when I die. Wait one second. You mean the devil that's bugging me, he got kicked out of heaven, and I'm going to heaven, so looks like I'm more important than he is. So if you want to fight me, bring it on, devil, because I already win. But you won't know that unless you worship. You got to worship. You got to praise and worship. You got to sometimes just have a moment with God. Let me talk to y'all women. Some of y'all women, y'all do this. I don't want to get in y'all business, but every now and then you turn the lights down low. You let the water get real hot and put a lot of bubble bath in there. They put candles all around the tub. and just relax. You want to have a moment. If you have kids, you want to lock the doors and you hope they don't turn up the music so that you just need a moment. But some of y'all need a moment with God. Turn the phone off. Turn the TV off. Just take a moment with God. Step out on your porch and just look up in the sky and thank God for God being God. You need a moment with God. Sometimes before you go to bed and the house is quiet, walk the halls of your house and give God some worship. When you give God a moment in time, God steps in that moment. And when he steps in that moment, he does amazing things.
Yeah.
And so when we value him, it shows the reason why we worship, because it shows who we value most, but also raises our value. Here's something I've learned. You can't stay with a low self-esteem if you properly worship God.
Amen.
You can't. I know we all got things about us we don't like. You don't like your ears. You don't like your waist. You don't like your teeth. We all got things about us we don't like, but I'm not going to devalue me. And there's some stuff you can change. You don't like your waist, you can change it. You may not be able to change your teeth. Yeah, you can. You can go to the dentist. That's some stuff you can change. You ain't got to cry about all that stuff. What you just do, you start embracing God, worshiping God, and start realizing you are a vessel of God, and stop talking down to yourself, because when you talk down to yourself, you're talking about your God. You're talking about his creation. I ain't going to be nobody's ugly no more. You ugly? No, no, no. I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know who you're looking at, but I ain't ugly. I ain't going to be nobody's ugly no more. I ain't going to be nobody's stupid no more. You gotta put some limits and stop letting people talk to you any kind of crazy, including your own self. Talk to yourself. I'm a child of God. And yes, I look good. May not look good to you, but I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about who's looking at me. And God says when he made me, it was good.
Yeah.
How about you just pat yourself on your back and say, I look good. Yeah, you do. You look good. You're handsome and you're pretty. You're cute and you're smart. You are somebody. Yes, you are, because of God. Now, do we have some things in our life? Yes. But why are we focusing on that? I'm focusing on the good. Now, when you go outside, you'll see my car, and people say, man, that's a nice car. It's nice on the inside. It's got some nice stuff. Well, it does have some salt from the road on it. But guess what? All I got to do is run it through the car wash. It'll take it off. Sometimes we act like the little stuff is so big. Well, you know, all I got was a GED. So what? That was 50 years ago. Why don't you think you made it this far with a GED? Instead of looking on the past and crying about it, why don't you praise God about it? I made it this far.
Yeah.
Well, I've been divorced for the last 25 years. You mean you've done all this by yourself? You made it this far? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I was adopted because my mama didn't want me. You mean you made it and your mama didn't want you? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We focus on the wrong things, but when we begin to worship God, everything is important. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11:16.
Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them.
Here's the major reason why we worship. Because if we don't, we were created to worship. You will worship something. And if you don't worship God, your heart will shift and you will worship something or someone.
Amen.
That's why years ago at Michael Jackson concerts, people would pass out. You would see people come to the altar and get hands laid on them, and they fall out under the power of God. And you would see people go to a Michael Jackson concert and pass out, because we're made to worship something. And if you don't know what to worship, you'll worship the wrong thing. You'll be falling out at the wrong thing. I don't want to fall out at the wrong thing. I don't want no man to take place over God in my life. I don't want a sports team to take place over God in my life. I don't want a car, a house, a job to take place over God in my life. If I don't worship him, I'm going to worship something.
Amen.
You're going to worship something. And here's the thing. Oftentimes, when we haven't properly worshiped God, that's when addiction slipped in. And once those things grab us, you find you worship them things because you'll say, I'm not doing it today. And the addiction say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. But guess what? That's why I like this part of our vision statement. We confess our deliverance consistently. I'm not going to let anything pull me down. I'm going to be delivered. Come hell or high water, I'm worshiping the God that can deliver me. And if he don't deliver me today, he'll deliver me tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be in 2022. If it's not in 2022, it'll be in 2032. Maybe it won't be till my dying day, but I'm going to get delivered. I'm going to be what God says I can be. And I worship him as a deliverer, even when I'm not all the way delivered myself. Because God is delivering me. It's a process, but I will never tell you he's not a deliverer. Just because I'm in debt doesn't mean he can't get you out of debt. I'm not going to preach what I'm in. I'm going to preach where I'm headed to. And I worship God based on where I'm headed, not just based on where I come from. All right, let's put up point F. Would you read that for me as well?
Worthy worship forces us to be proactive and not reactive.
I want to take just a little time and unpack this for a moment. Praise is reactive. If I give you this towel, you say, thank you. That's reactive. You can't thank me until I give you the towel. If you get up here and you give a good testimony and give a good speech and we praise you for it and say you did a good job, that's reactive. We can't do that until you first do. But worship is proactive. See, praise is based on what God does. And worship is based on who he is. So even when God is not doing, he's still worthy of worship. See, here's the thing. We can praise God when there's money in the bank. We can praise God when our body's feeling good. We can praise God when the marriage is floating right. We can praise God when the kids are acting right and say, God, thank you for what you're doing for my kids. But what about when the kids aren't doing right and the money's not in the bank and your body is sick and your loved ones are dying? And your mind is not feeling right. And you got anxiety and you're waking up with nightmares. Can you worship God? Worship is proactive. Worship says, even in the state that I'm in, I still worship you, God. I don't have to wait for you to bring me out. I still worship you, God. I don't wait till the battle is over. I shout right now because I know you're able. Even if you haven't done it, I know you're able. Like the three Hebrew boys, even if you don't do it, I worship you because I know you're able to do it. My kids may be messed up, but you're able to bring them out. My mind may be messed up, but you're able to bring me out. So I worship you proactively. Some of us are spoiled because God been good to us and life been good to us until it wasn't good. As long as Borg Warner was here, we was good. But when Borg Warner and Chevrolet got up and left and we had to make ends meet in different ways, and then we start thinking God's not good. No, God's still good in a famine. God's still good in the economic downturn. God's still good in a pandemic. God's still good in a divorce. God's still good when you're grieving. God is still good because God is still God. And worthy worship says, God, I'm not going to withhold my worship based on my circumstances. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And many churches have praise off of those verses, but they don't know those verses was written when David was in a cave. And David was he was being chased by Saul. And David had to pretend like he was crazy just to fit in the place he was in. And finally, he ran to a cave. And all the discontent and indebted people ran to him. He didn't have nothing. He yet wrote these words, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means when times are bad, I'm still blessing him. Because it's not about praise. It's about my worship. God, I still worship you. David was promised a kingdom. He was anointed to be king, and he was stuck in a cave, but he yet praised God. Some of the things that have been promised over you don't even seem like they're close to your life. But something about your worship says it'll make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if I don't get it to my deathbed. I'm still giving you praise and glory, God. I still worship you, God. I'm still glad to come to church. I'm still glad to read my Bible. I'm still glad to talk to God. He don't have to do everything. He's not my Santa Claus.
Amen.
He ain't got to do everything I want him to do. He's God. And as long as he's God, he's worthy. And when you have that mindset, God, he'll do stuff. And here's the thing. God will do what you thought you didn't want and do it so good. You'll be like, well, I do want that. I do like that. I didn't think I liked that. I do want that. Guess what? I didn't want to be no pastor, but guess what? I do like this. God know what he's doing. And the things he was taking me through was to prepare me for where I am today. I didn't like it, but I'm so glad for it. All right, let's read a little further. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11, 18.
You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
This is what helps us to stay in this worship mindset. Let's read the next verse.
You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
So if you start keeping this word in your mind, in your head, in your heart, and then you start talking about it to your children. It's not just talking about your physical children, but your spiritual children, the people that you mentor, the people that you talk to. You start beginning to talk about the things of God. It's hard to not worship him if you have him on your lips. When you have him on your lips, it's easy to worship him. All right, let's look at verse 20.
You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
He said, you should write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Let me give you an example of how you can do it in your house. Just take some 3x5 cards. Put some scriptures that you really like and enjoy and stick them on the mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth, you look up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't even have to quote it, but you see it. Put God around your house. Hang up some pictures that remind you of the things of God. So when you're going through dark times, you can look up and you see things that remind you. Some people who've gone through addiction, they put up the prayer of serenity that says, help me to accept the things I can't. They try to do something to keep it before your eyes. If you have everything but God before your eyes, going to have a hard time giving him a worthy worship. We got Netflix, we got Hulu, we got Disney Plus, we got ESPN, we got DirecTV, Dish, we got everything. We got XM satellite, we got all kinds of stuff to occupy our time. You better add some God in there somewhere or you will be overcome. You'll be drowned by the things of this world. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Clubhouse, TikTok, everything you can name, you can have it, but you better get some God talk and some God book and some God chatter. You better get some God in your life. You better put your face in his book every now and then.
Amen.
Let's go to G.
Worthy worship identifies your ignorance.
Now, when you begin to put God before you, it shows you in the areas in your life where you are ignorant of God or have been ignoring God. So worship also helps you in the areas where you're failing God because it shines the light on those things and makes you offer those things to God. But let's read some verses that will help us with this. Let's look at John 4, 19 through 20.
The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship.
This is the woman at the well. It's a very familiar story, and it's very familiar connected to worship. And so, first of all, I was telling us how the real worthy worship, it begins to identify ignorance. And we're talking about putting God before us. But this shows when Jesus met the woman at the well, and he began to deal with her. He had already told her that she had 5 husbands, and the one she was with wasn't hers. He had already prophesied to her that. So she said, okay, I perceive you're a prophet. I know there's something about you, God. But he began to work more with it. So I want you to read again with that background. Read that verse again.
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship."
She said, "I have some questions about what's the right way to do it." And here's something you have to understand. The reason why we have to grow in our areas of ignorance is because there's people out there that are confused. They want to reach out to God, but they're confused. They're confused that this is a white man's Jesus. This is a white man's religion. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff going on out there, and you have to be able to have something to say to them. But if you don't worship God yourself, you can't deliver nobody else. So the woman was saying, y'all say we're supposed to worship this way. Y'all say we're supposed to do it this way. We say we're supposed to do it this way. Let's see how God responds in verse 21.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father."
He said, there's an hour coming. There's a season coming where it's not about the particulars, and it's not about the routine, and it's not about the denomination, but there's an hour coming. And let's go to the next verse that shows you the hour which we live in right now.
"You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews."
See, there's an hour coming, and he's pointing out to you really are worshiping out of ignorance. And so oftentimes, let me say this, one of the reasons why the pandemic has been allowed, God did not bring it, but he allowed it because there's a lot of ignorance in the church. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of fussing and fighting and ignorance in the church that doesn't mean anything. And what Jesus said, you worship what you don't even know. You focus on stuff that you don't even know about. But there's an hour coming that's going to shift and change everything. It's not going to be about the Pope and the Bishop and the Pastor and the Church and Hebrew Israelites and Apostolics and this, that. It's not going to be about all that. God's shaking all that stuff up. He's shaking us loose of a bunch of junk. It's going to be, listen, you better grab a hold of God for yourself. I ain't got time to argue and debate and fuss. I'm trying to make it for myself. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Well, I read something on the internet. Listen, everything on the internet is not the truth. You need the internet, you need the Bible, you need prayer, you need deliverance, you need worship. Stop just buying into something somebody told you. You need a connection with God. I don't care how good it sounds, there's something in my spirit that lets me know that's not right. That's how them people at Jim Jones, that's how they got off. Things shifted, but nothing in their spirit said, this is wrong. You mean I'm supposed to drink Kool-Aid with cyanide in it to prove that God is real? That don't sound right to me. But a bunch of people drank it, and a bunch of people end up dead. And don't you, I know y'all love me, but don't y'all let me lead y'all wrong, talking off and crazy. You better have a worship with God so strong that you can say, my pastor, is something's wrong with him. We got to pray for him, because I'm not following a man. I'm following God. Amen. So H, read that for me when they put it up.
Worthy worship shifts us from the natural to the spiritual.
So this is where the hour is coming. It's shifting us from all these natural things to spiritual things. Something I need you to understand, the spiritual and the natural, they operate on parallel planes. In other words, they operate next to each other. Give you an example of that. Pershing and Hackley are parallel streets. They run parallel. There's certain streets that connect you from one to the other. So when you're operating in the natural, there's things that shift you over to the spiritual or shift you over to the supernatural. When you're operating in the spiritual and supernatural, there's things that shift you over to the natural. So let's, with that understanding, let's look at this verse, John 4:23.
But the hour is coming and is now here.
He said that, back then he said the hour is coming, and then he said is now here. So it's here for us, read.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
Wait a second. It says the what kind of worshipers?
True worshipers.
What kind of worshipers?
True worshipers.
If there's true worshipers, there's false worshipers. Read.
For the Father is seeking such people to worship him.
The true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. It's not about how good it sounds, even though it sounding good is important. We don't just want to be sounding crazy, but it's more than just sounding good. It's spirit and in truth. It's more than just music. It's a lifestyle. It's spirit and in truth. It's more than just coming to church. It's a lifestyle. It's spirit and it's truth. Yeah. It's more than the particulars. It's more than the routine. It's more than the religion. Here's something that I have to say that bothers me. Every January, we have a whole bunch of churches that just go on Daniel fast. There's nothing wrong with that. But to me, it's become less of a fast and more of a fad. We're just doing it because the other church is doing it. The church down the street is doing it. Well, why are you doing it? Well, the dude in Indianapolis is doing it. Why are you doing it? Well, the dude in Tennessee is doing it. What are you doing for God? You're just going to do what everybody else does? Do you have a personal relationship with God for yourself? Yes, there's nothing wrong with fasting at the beginning of the year, but get out of routine. What if God wants you to fast in the middle of the year? What if he wants you to fast at the end of the year? What if he wants to fast once a week? Stop being caught in a routine and worship God in spirit and in truth. Day by day. I'm not trying to throw off on anybody because I don't know what anybody else does, but I haven't called fast for y'all. Not because y'all don't need to fast, because I don't want y'all looking to me to drive your spirituality. I want you to be able to talk to God for yourself. Don't be looking to me. I can't get you into heaven. I can preach to you. I can disciple you, but I can't get you into heaven. You got to have a relationship for yourself. I'm not doing your work for you. You pray. You worship. I'm not doing the worship for you. You do it. Get on your knees. Cry out to God yourself. You can't do it all on Sunday morning. You need a personal relationship because worthy worship. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I can help. I can do, because I'm called as a pastor. I can help and I can lead. But when you woke up in the morning, did you call me and ask me, could you breathe? Or did you breathe on your own? So that means that God helps you breathe. Yeah. So why are you going to come to me when it's time to worship God? No, you worship the one that put breath in your body. When your eyes open up, you ought to say, thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Give him the praise that he deserves. All right, let's see where I'm at. We gotta get out of here. We're going to point three, and this is where we're going to be closing from. Point three, when they put it up there for me, this is ways to worship. So now we're going to deal with ways to worship. And this, we're not going to spend a lot of time unpacking the verses. We're just going to throw them out there. These are ways to worship. Because worship, most people think worship is just, like you said, what you're doing in the building. But it's not just that. We call this a worship service. This is really to kickstart you. I say this all the time, that this will help you understand it. The service, the Sunday service, is like going to the gas station. It's to fill you up for what you're going to face all week long. But once you get filled up, you got to ride, you got to drive, you got to live. So you come in here, you get touched, but you have to go out there and live. So these are ways that we can worship God. We're going to put this up, five forms of worthy worship. Five forms of worthy worship. One is teaching and preaching. This is a part of worship, teaching and preaching. Guess what? It's up to you to get some teaching and preaching just outside of just what you get in here. It's good to get it in here, but there's Christian radio. There's all kinds of sermons on YouTube. If you are a lazy Christian in this day and age, if you are unfed in this day and age, it's nobody's fault but your own. Amen. There are so many avenues for you to be taught and for you to hear God. And guess what? I'm not just talking about on the internet. There are other places in Muncie. There are other great ministers where you can go and feed from. Now, yes, you belong to this local assembly, but that didn't mean you can't go and partake of what other people are doing. But that's part of worship, getting some teaching and preaching. And so let's give us a scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:17.
That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church.
Paul said, as I teach everywhere in every church, I'm sharing with you the same thing for you to learn my ways in Christ. And learning about Christ and learning his ways is a form of worship. Let's go to number two, which is something that we should understand. Singing is a form of worship. Ephesians 5:19. And you may say, well, I don't sound like Sharifa. Now, I don't sound like J.B. when we're not all supposed to sound like them. But that doesn't mean you cannot sing. So Ephesians 5:19. Now before she read that, 5:18 says this. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes into verse 19. It says this.
Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart.
So we address each other with songs and hymns. That don't necessarily mean that we come to each other singing, but we have that singing spirit. There's something, you know how something, a song just rings in your spirit. You just wake up and you have just like a song in your spirit. It puts a pep in yourself. It pep in your step. It kind of orchestrates your day just to have something in your spirit. Like, yeah, like I'm a soldier in the army of, it's just in your spirit. Whatever is in your spirit, that's how you ought to be flowing. You shouldn't be drunk with wine to where you are being controlled by wine, but you should be controlled by the songs of the Lord, the worship of the Lord, the praises of God. That's why it's important for the praise team not just be grabbing stuff out of a hat and singing just anything, because it should be stuff that gets in our spirit. And when we wake up and when we go throughout our day, those songs come back and they begin to help us. Just like alcohol will control us, those songs will control us. Because guess what? You might bump into somebody crazy. You might bump into somebody that makes you want to cuss, but instead of cussing, you got a song in your spirit. I'm glad I got a song. You better be glad I got a song in my spirit today. Because you could have got something else, but I got song in me. But that's part of our worship. So you should be singing at home. You should be singing in your car. Or even thinking about the words of the song. Even if you're not singing, thinking about the words of the song. And what that song means to you. But those things are part of our worship. All right, number three. Prayer, which is Acts 12 and 5. That's a part of our worship too. So praying is a part of worship. Acts 12, 5, read that.
So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church.
The church was being persecuted. Peter got locked up in prison, but the saints of God were praying in church for the release of Peter. When you pray for other people, that is worship. The Bible says God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. That is worship as well. All right, number four. This is something. Number four, taking a collection. Uh-oh, that's worship too. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, but we're only going to read 2. We're going to put that up.
On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come.
In other words, what Paul was saying, he said that they were raising an offering for a specific reason. He's saying that at the beginning of the week, you ought to be setting something aside, a part of your worship. I want to set something aside. Before you come here, you should already know what you plan on giving to God. And it should only go up, not down. If it changes, God changes you and makes it go up. It shouldn't go down. Well, I was only going to give a quarter. Now I'm going to give a dime. No, you ain't hearing God. No, set something aside. I'm coming. God gave me, he gave me $600 stimulus. I'm going to give 60 to God, but I'm going to put another 60 in the offer. I'm bringing 120 to church. But then when I get there in the presence of God, I feel like giving 200. God will still bless me, but it's a part of my worship. Now, what I shouldn't do, I shouldn't be trying to trick you to get it out of you. That's not God. It should be you worshiping God. That's why we only raise one offering. And we don't come back and say, saints, we need $50 more. We can't move on to service. We need 100 more. I don't do that. Now, I'm not knocking anybody else that does that. This is what I believe. Who's going to give is going to give, and who's not is not. I ain't got time wasting time with that. We're going to go on and preach and do what God wants us to do. And raising one offering, we done paid all kinds of bills and doing all kinds of stuff. We don't have no gimmicks. God is blessing us. Because people are learning, it's a part of their worship. It's a part of their worship. All right, number five. Finally, number five. The Lord's Supper, which is also known as communion. That's a part of our worship. And so in this moment, we're going to go into our communion. What we're going to do, Mother Mitchell, I'm going to have you just read all the scriptures as they put them up. And then we will take communion at your own leisure. Whenever you feel like taking it as she reads the scripture, you do it. If you want to do it at the end, if you want to do it in the middle, you want to do it however you want to do it. It's just the way we're going to worship God this morning. But these are the scriptures connected to communion, and we are going to receive communion.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Amen. I trust that many of you are taking or even taking now. I'll give you a few more moments to do so. It's just a part of our worship. It's just, it puts us in remembrance of God, in remembrance of the fact that he died for us. His body and his blood. And we're grateful. And we worship God in this way. Would you repeat it for me? Say, "God, I worship you with my communion, with my prayer, with my giving,
with my
singing,
and by listening to teaching and preaching."
In Jesus' name.
Let's
bow our heads and we're going to pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and praise you, magnifying you for all that you are and all that you mean, God. We thank you for the ability to worship you. But God, there's some people out there that they can only really praise you because they don't know you in the pardon of their sins. So they can't really worship you like we worship you because they don't really know you like we know you. But God, I'm praying that under the sound of my voice that you would save them to the uttermost. I pray that they would just utter these words, "Father God, come into my heart,
come into my
life.
And save me
so I can worship you
all my days
and give you
a true
worthy worship."
In Jesus' name,
let's we pray. Amen. Come on, we can stand to our feet. God bless you. We love you. We honor you. And may God's face shine upon you as you leave.